And as you tell it, there were these chilling broadcasts on radio, including broadcasting the direction and location of people who were fleeing and urging people to do their duty and to kill their neighbor.
Well, this is what I call the power of words. Words can be the best tools of life, and also they can be the worst ones when they are used in the wrong way. When I was using my words to help the maximum I could help, and by luck, we happened to help 1,268 people to survive. No one was killed. No one was taken out to be beaten or to be killed outside. And no one was even beaten at the hotel compound. Hmm. So others were using their words in order to kill. The RTLM radio was urging people to kill their neighbors, telling them even to help fill the graves because they are not yet full. Killing had become a duty. This radio, this media tool, was urging neighbors to go into other neighbors' roofs, look for people who had fled there, kill them, help fill the graves. So the media, the words can be the best tools of life. They can be the worst, depending on what we want to achieve as a goal.
Yes, you say in your book that words were really your only weapon. You knew these men who were in charge. They would come in, you'd give them free drinks, and you would persuade them to neglect their duty of killing the people in the hotel for one more day.
Yes, I say so. But this did not only start in April 1994. It also started a long way before. A long way before, during my career, I used to welcome each and everyone in my public relations, sit down with them, offer them a drink. And what I have noticed is the fact that whoever comes, sits with you at a table, share a drink. As we say, and we call it in Kinyarwanda, it is not supposed to be tea, as we say, or a coffee or something of the nature of water. This is supposed to be something serious. A drink, I mean, alcohol. So any person who actually comes, sits with you, and in a face-to-face, and you show that person that he or she should not fear you, before they kill you, they think twice, if not more. So this taught me that treating people like friends, it is like putting some money into a bank. You never know. One day, time comes when you need those people. And then as time comes, when you need your money, the money you put into a bank. Me, I had stockpiled some favors. And when time came, I cashed my favors in, and I borrowed heavily, as I say, as I write in An Ordinary Man.
So, and you used whatever you could. Really, words were all you had, right? You flattered, you cajoled, you pled, I get whatever you needed to do.
Whatever you need to do with the words, I have noticed that the best and worst weapons in a human being's arsenal are words than anything else. Mm-hmm. I can talk about drinks, alcohol, as I said. I can talk about anything else, but words were the best tools of life during the Rwandan genocide in 1994.
Now, since all you had was words, they could have killed you at any time and killed all of your guests. What did you think from day to day? Tomorrow might be the day that they do this?
As a given level, around May 1994, they noticed that before they kill all the refugees under my responsibility, they had to kill me. Then I became one of the most, actually the most wanted targets. And they came to me, a few of them came to me and told me that we know that they are going to kill you. Why don't you come with us and you leave this place? I told them that, my friend, I have listened to my advisor. What I call my advisor in my life is my conscience. And my conscience has told me not to leave. I know they are going to kill me, but before they kill me, let me do another thing, another small thing. And I went on like that until the end of the genocide. At the end of the genocide, I looked at myself. I was still there without any scratch. I was just there alive. And I said to myself that the rest of my life from 1994 until a day I do not know, that will be my bonus. My bonus so far, 20 years of bonus. That is huge.
Yeah, that is.